Sister Act, No Such Thing as an Uncatchable Pass, and Shame on the Big Ten. It's all next on This Week in High School Sports, powered by My Student Aid, making college accessible, affordable, and achievable. Hi again, everyone. I'm John Johnson, and welcome to This Week in High School Sports. When you win an MHSAA cross-country title and set a record for the low score in the process, how do you top that? Simple. Win again by an even lower score the next year. That's what the girls' cross-country team at Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart did last Saturday at Michigan International Speedway at the Lower Peninsula Girls Finals. The Irish, which put six runners in the top 30 and set a Division IV record last year by scoring 52 points, put four runners in the top nine, all seven of its runners in the top 21, and cut that scoring record down to 34 points. Three of the four McConnell sisters in the seven, Bailey in second place, Alexis in third, and Cammie in fourth, paced Sacred Heart, and Bailey told the MHSAA second half how the sisters work together.
They like to pace me a lot, and I like to pace with them. So we kind of just stayed that, and then each mile I would see the time, and I'd push myself harder so that I could keep a constant pace.
And of those seven runners, only Alexis McConnell graduates. So look for the Irish to be back next year. You can read all about the cross-country finals on the second half page of the MHSAA website. Our Sparrow Health game balls this week go out to Genesee Christian soccer goalie Zach Noecker, who didn't allow a single goal in seven tournament games in his team's repeat as Division IV champions, making seven saves and a 3-0 win over Muskegon Catholic Central last Saturday. And Midland Dow's Claire Newman won three events in leading her swimming and diving team to its 11th straight Saginaw Valley League Championship last weekend. Water is a critical nutrient for student athletes. Dehydration can cause muscle cramping and fatigue. A tip from Sparrow, the official health system of the MHSAA. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to This Week in High School Sports.
Hi, my name's Dan Skuda, professional football player and Michigan native. Being born and raised in Michigan, I want to see all Michigan students succeed. Paying for college can be a barrier. That's why I've teamed up with My Student Aid to help tackle the cost of college. My Student Aid helps students and families in Michigan with affording college, with scholarships, grants, and also college savings programs. See how they can help you today by visiting michigan.gov/mystudentaid. Together, we can help make college accessible, affordable, and achievable.
Our weekly Be the Referee segment takes a look at the fine art of officiating with Mark Ewell.
Today we're going to talk about one of the most misunderstood rules at the high school level, and that deals with the uncatchable pass. All of us have sat in front of our televisions on Saturday or Sunday, seen the long pass get thrown, followed immediately by the throwing of the flag. As the officials discuss what happened, the referee invariably clicks on the microphone and announces that there is no foul for pass interference because the pass was uncatchable. At the high school level, that is not a factor in deciding whether or not pass interference has occurred. The ball does not have to be catchable, and if the contact is ruled as pass interference, that foul stands regardless of the quality of the pass.
Thanks, Mark. There's help wanted. Just whistle. Go to MHSAA.com now to be a referee. You can't ever be accused of piling on an 800-pound gorilla, so here goes. One of the most cold-blooded moves in college sports took place last week when the Big Ten Conference reneged on its promise to not play football games on Friday nights and announced it will start playing six games a year as part of its new TV contract that launches in 2017. And then, to add insult to injury, the conference announced this week that one of those games in 2017 would be Michigan State at Northwestern on the opening night of the MHSAA football playoffs. The gorilla dumped right on the high school community, becoming the fourth of the Power Five conferences to knock down high school football's Friday night lights. Only the SEC has yet to infringe on the high school game's turf. Aside from the obvious effect college games overshadowing high school games will have when they take place in terms of local media coverage and the gate, you have to wonder if the TV money is worth all the ill will the Big Ten just bought itself with season ticket holders who might not be able to make those Friday games, the negative financial impact on the communities hosting such games when hotels, restaurants, and retail outlets lose traffic, and the hit the recruiting process will take because of the lost weekend to have high school students in and the lost weekends for college coaches to be on the road. But then figure in that it's only likely that the schools with the smaller stadiums in the conference, like Northwestern, will be hosting most of these games. The have-nots in the Big Ten, like Purdue, Indiana, and Rutgers, may become richer financially, but poorer from a football perspective by this move. You've been listening to This Week in High School Sports, powered by My Student Aid, a production of the MHSAA Network. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm John Johnson. We'll see you next time.